ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय अथनाघाघ्रस थवा किरति किरतायोर अंतर बाहिस स्नाना विधुता आत्मनाम भूतेश्वानुक्रोशा सुसत्वा शीलिनाम स्यात् संगमानुग्रह एषा नस् तवा अथ नघाग्रस्तव कीर्तितीर्थयोर् अन्धारबाहिस्नानविधूतपाप्मनाम् भूतेष्वनुक्रोशु सत्त्वशीलनम् स्यत्सङ्गमोऽनुग्रह एष नस्तवा अथ नघाघ्रस्तव कीर्तितीर्थयोर् अन्धारबाहिस्नानविधूतपाप्मनाम् भूतेष्वनुक्रोशु सत्त्वशीलनम् स्यत्सङ्गमोऽनुग्रह एष नस्तवा Therefore, anagha angre of my Lord, whose lotus feet destroy all inauspiciousness. Tava, your kirti, glorification. Tirtayo, the holy Ganges water. Anta, within. Bahi, and outside. Snana, taking bath. Vidhuta, washed. Atmanam, contaminated state of mind. Bhuteshu, unto the ordinary living beings. Anukrosha, benediction or mercy. Susattva, completely in goodness. Shilanam, of those who possess such characteristics. Syat, let there be. Sangama, association. Anugraha, mercy. Esha, this. Na, unto us. Tava, your. Translation. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are the cause of all auspicious things and the destroyer of all the contamination of sin. I therefore beg your lordship to bless me by the association of your devotees, who are completely purified by worshipping your lotus feet, and who are so merciful upon the conditioned souls. I think that your real benediction will be to allow me to associate with such devotees. The Ganges water is celebrated as being able to eradicate all kinds of sinful reactions. In other words, when a person takes bath in the Ganges, he becomes free from all life's contaminations. The Ganges water is celebrated in this way because it emanates from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, those who are directly in touch with the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who are absorbed in the chanting of his glories are freed from all material contamination. Such unalloyed devotees are able to show mercy to the common conditioned souls. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has sung that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya are so powerful that each one of them can deliver a universe. In other words, it is the business of devotees to preach the glories of the Lord and deliver all conditioned souls to the platform of Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness. Here the word Susattva means Shuddha Sattva, the transcendental stage beyond material goodness. By his exemplary prayers, Lord Shiva teaches us that our best course, that our best course is to take shelter of Lord Vishnu and his Vaishnava devotees. So Lord Shiva is one of the great Mahajanas. So Mahajana means he knows the process of devotional service. He understands what actually works, right? Because otherwise, the tendency is there's so many forms, so many activities, and we think it's the form itself, by having that form, or being involved with that form, or the action itself being perfectly executed, is the actual perfection. But as Lord Shiva is pointing out here, it's the association of the devotees. That association is what makes everything perfect. Because even something is very expertly performed, if it's not in consciousness of the Lord, or if it's not a devotion to the Lord, it doesn't really have any meaning. Again and again we see this point coming up, is that the value of something is knowing what it's for. Let us say someone is cooking, and they're cooking very nice, technically very good, but they don't actually understand that they're cooking, let's say, for an offering at a certain time or for a particular group of guests. So that means it won't quite come out the way that it should. Even though it's perfect and the technique is being applied, but unless you see the bigger picture, it won't fit. So activities being performed, if we don't see the picture of their connection to the Lord, Doesn't matter how wonderful the ingredients are or how great the results are, it still will fall short. So that association is what is very important. Right? An association is based on these principles of interaction. Why is this so important? Because the point is we're trying to get to the level of interacting with the Lord. He's a person. So that means as a person, he's with people. Right? He's not just alone. So it's not just going to be ourself and Krishna. Right? Because otherwise, what do you do all day? Right? You have to do something like that. So the more, and if that's great, imagine if there's more people. That is, everything's perfect. So Krishna is surrounded by so many devotees. And at the same time, he has a perfect relationship with each one of them. So, if we have difficulty associating with devotees, we'll also have difficulty associating with the Lord, because it's the same platform. This platform of susattva, the sattvic platform. It's a very good platform, especially the sattvic means the Ganges is very pure. It's coming from the lotus feet of the Lord, so that sattvic element can be found in the Ganges, right? Like that. And so if you make the platform that you're standing on, that sattvic platform in the Ganges, then one is always victorious. Right? Does that make sense? Anyone make sense? Okay. So then, in other words, if you take sattvic, put him in the Ganga, push him underwater, and you're on top, you win. That's the point. So, we're trying to develop, means this association of devotees, and especially here it's mentioning about the lotus feet of the Lord. This whole section is about the lotus feet of the Lord. So, the devotees, we see is that these first two cantos of Bhagavatam, they're establishing that devotional service is supreme over everything else. That's what the first canto is establishing. Why that is important. And then the second canto is establishing how one can see the Lord anywhere, everywhere. So, by being able to see the Lord everywhere in devotion, then that's actually what we're trying to get to. Now, to see that we do that, then of course, as we mentioned in the beginning, there's all these different rules and regulations that are practiced to see that we're not doing something we shouldn't be doing. Right? But the point is that the devotees, they're absorbed in the Lord. So by their association, we'll see that there's something higher than material enjoyment. Right? Material enjoyment, it's limited because you're dealing with the creation, but you're not including the Lord. That's what sense gratification means. If you're engaging the senses and including the Lord, then it's devotional service. If you're engaging the senses and not including the Lord, it's sense gratification. Right? Very simple. Because an activity goes on, if a group of persons are interacting based around the engagement of the senses, then, but the element of the relationship is the most important, right? Then that's natural. Right? Devotees are sitting, they're taking prasad, they're you know, having a nice interaction. So the interaction between the devotees is what's important, right? That the senses are being engaged simply creates a forum for that interaction. Does that make sense? Interaction is going to happen with the senses. It's not going to happen with something else. Right? It means even if your brain is in a glass jar somewhere and you're doing everything by telepathy because you're so evolved, still, the mind is a sense. That's what they leave out. So if you're getting rid of the body, which is the five senses, you know, and leaving that mind, that's the sixth sense there, why that one stays and the others don't? So it doesn't make sense, right? So the point is you're interacting because the medium is the senses. Now, if that interaction, the most important thing is what you're gaining from the interaction of the senses, that's called sense gratification. If the interaction with the other persons is what's important, and the senses are simply a medium for creating that environment and the reason of expressing the relationship, then that's not called sense gratification. Does that make sense? So this is what we're talking about. The devotees, they're engaged in serving the Lord. So they're engaging the senses. But it looks very similar. That's why we may think it's something else that makes the devotees special. But it's not. It's not that, you know, they float around or their feet don't touch the ground or something. It's that their senses are engaged in the Lord's service. That's what we're trying to do, because in the spiritual world, they're all engaging their senses in the Lord's service. You know, they get up in the morning, they take their bath, they have breakfast, they go out and do their occupations, they come back in the evening, there's talking and laughing and entertainment, they sleep at night, they eat food. Right? But the point is all that is done in consideration of their relationship with Krishna. Well, in the material world, it's just ourself and what benefit we're getting from the interaction of our senses with the sense objects. Right? And even if we do extend it to include other persons, if Krishna's not involved, even though it's the higher platform, it's just nice uselessness. Right? You know, you have the guy that's, you know, not good character and he's useless. So it's very easy to have a guy who's useless, he's a nonsense. But the guy's really nice, pleasant, but absolutely useless. Right? He's a pleasant useless. Nice useless. He's not a bad useless. So that's what piety in the material platform is. It's nice uselessness. Very pleasant uselessness. So for the devotees, they're not worried about karma and jnana because their senses and their intelligence are engaged in the Lord's service. So that's what makes it so special. So that's why taking bath in the Ganga, because it's coming from the lotus feet of the Lord, and the devotees who are absorbed in the lotus feet of the Lord, they give the same effect. So that's why then one that's why the devotees are glorified, because it's that engagement in devotional service that is unique, that is special. Because other things aren't what the speciality is. Other things are just how you engage yourself. Right? Everybody has to engage themselves. So it doesn't matter what you're doing, right? If you're a manager, or if you're a collector, or if you're pujari, or if you're a teacher, that's not what's important. What's important that is connected to Krishna. Right? Just like it doesn't matter what sense you're engaging in the Lord's service. The important thing is it's connected to the Lord. If you're seeing Krishna, smelling the incense, tasting the prasad, doesn't matter which one it is, it's connected to Krishna. So that's the specialness about the devotee, is that it's always connected to Krishna. Right? That's what makes the devotees unique. It's not that their sadhana is so special, or this or that, or they have a bigger tattoo than everybody else, or their tattoo says Radhe Radhe instead of, you know, mother or something like that. You know, it's not that. It's that it's connected to Krishna. That's what's special. So here then, because of that, anything connected to Krishna, that's special. So the whole universe not being connected to the Lord means in the mind of the conditioned living entity, it's just ignorance. So even the slightest amount of connection is something special. Right? It's a light. So then the difference is that less advanced, it's a smaller flame. More advanced, a bigger flame. But because it's connected to Krishna, it is a flame. It gives light. It dispels ignorance. Right? So that's why here the word term devotee is used. Right? It's a general term. Because even if we say, well, devotees, you know, they're not that, but the devotees are serving more advanced devotees, and they're serving more advanced devotees, and they're like this. So in other words, everybody is serving devotees. So that point comes up is that just that one's connected to the devotee, then one is able to help in saving the universe. Maybe one alone, one can't save the whole universe. They can. But even if when they do, they engage everybody else. We see as all these other devotees, though Vrindavanas Thakur has said that each one can save the whole universe, they're engaging everybody else. Because that's the whole point, is its relationship, its interaction based on Krishna. That's what becomes special. Yeah. So this platform of Shuddha Sattva means it's connected to the Lord. That's what makes it Shuddha Sattva. If it's being done according to scriptures, it's being done according to what's correct, right? What's recommended, what's according to authority, that's sattvic. Right? It's being done because it's supposed to be done. Right? There's no, how do you say, material motive, right? So that's sattvic, not material motive. There's no, how do you say, the purpose in doing it is that that's what's supposed to be done. One may be very happy to get the results once they've gotten it. Motive passion is you do what's correct with the point that you'll get this result for yourself. Motive goodness, you're doing it because you're supposed to do it. That's the duty. So that same activity being performed to please Krishna, that's Shuddha Sattva. Right? So that's the idea that we're trying to do, is that piety, which makes something sattvic, is that it's according to authority. Right? And then pure goodness is it's according to authority to please Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So pure devotional service means it's being done, it's favorable to Krishna to please Krishna. Right? So that's what makes it unique. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. You were talking about prasadam, how it's a good opportunity to associate with devotees. And I wanted to ask you how we can do this, because some devotees, they like to eat alone, without talking and meditating on prasadam. And others, they like to talk and... So what is the best way to please Krishna and the devotees?
It means any of those is fine. The point is that, let us, because you're talking about pleasing, so I get the idea that you're making some arrangements. So if the person likes to eat alone, then you invite them only. And then feed them alone. You know what I'm saying? Or if they, you know, there's someone they like to be with, and like that. In other words, you keep it small. The idea of interaction, it's not the volume. That if you can get volume where everybody is focused on the same thing, then that's very special. But that's what the Sankirtan does. You have a big kirtan, or that everybody's focused on the name. Like that. So there's very minimal distraction. This one thinking how good he's playing Mridanga, that one's thinking how good he's singing, and that one's thinking how good he's playing kartals. And the other one may be thinking how great I'm dancing. But the main point is that they're all focused on the name. So that brings it all together. But on prasadam, because there's a common culture, but on prasadam, if there's a common culture, then you can expand the group. If there's not a common culture, then you won't get that effect you're looking for. Though everyone's taking prasad, so it's transcendental. So the point is in association with devotees, then it's swajati, so who's common nature. That's what you look for. It's not the variety, it's who's common. And if you want variety, then you invite different groups of same nature devotees. You know what I'm saying? This group is same nature. The next group is different from the first group, but they're all the same. Right? This idea that you just bring everybody and put it together and then it'll be fabulous, but what's the basis of fabulous? Prasad, okay, that's nice taking prasad, but the interaction, what's the common ground? Because as we said, the devotees are engaging their senses in the Lord's service. So there's something directly about Krishna, like chanting or taking prasad, then that's there. But as far as their service, they have different activities they're doing. So there may be a common ground to create, you know, that kind of free-flowing conversation, interact, but there might not be. Does that make sense? So, therefore, what's going to make that work is that the common ground, the nature is the same. Does that make sense? You know? And so then, the prasad service, as we said, is to support that. It's not that, you know, when we're serving, that we're the prominent thing, or it's all about the prasad, or it's all, means the association is. But you start somewhere. You start with the prasad because that's the main common ground. And then from there it'll expand into everything else. Especially if the prasad was nice, the arrangements were nice or satisfied, then generally one of the symptoms is that is afterwards everybody starts laughing. That's what Yudhishthira Maharaj's order at the Rajasuya sacrifice when he was feeding the Brahmins. He says, feed them till they laugh. Because Brahmins, if they're satisfied with the food, they laugh. Right? Does that make sense? So that's how you know things are going well. So that means he wasn't rushing things either. Even though he's feeding 100,000 at a time, they're not rushing. Right? They're doing it in the proper way, and everyone's satisfied. Then the next group comes. So it's not in numbers or efficiency. It's in the quality. Does that make sense? Something else? No? Yes. Back. There's a yes. Oh, yes in the front also. Okay. He's got the mic, so.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you are talking about connection of Krishna with universe also. Without connection, Krishna is connected with everything,
yes.
Even the universe also.
Universe. Okay.
In Kerala, where the Mayavadi philosophy is very strong, they also claim to be devotees. But they claim they are devotees in the all-pervading aspect of Vishnu.
Yeah.
So they don't want to really get connected to person as it is. So the question of prasadam and the satsang, they are more into this operating aspect rather than the person as it is. So how do they?
You take a Nambudri Brahman, sit him down at a nice plate of rice and avial and everything else, he'll eat, even though he's a Brahmavadi. And the more ghee you put on it, the better, right? I think the Kerala saying is, if you put enough ghee, you can eat blankets, no? Right? So that means you're going to catch all these Mayavadis by lots of nice rice with lots of ghee on it. The point is offer it to Krishna. If they don't want to listen to philosophy, they do that. But in Kerala, you have all these other things. Who does all those dramas and all that? The Brahmins, right? There's a particular class of it. It's only done by Brahmins. And only Brahmins come to watch. So nobody minds. Right? Guru Vayur, the elephant procession, all the different festivals, they start in the morning, he's just a baby with only wearing his kopas. By evening, he's four-armed Vishnu. Now, that's all of them there, all the pujaris are Mayavadis. But why? They like all this stuff. All it is they're saying the ultimate is Brahman. Right, so we're saying we're also devotees, but the point is that Brahman comes from the person. It's controlled by Paramatma. So Brahman and Paramatma and Bhagavan are the three features of the Supreme Absolute Truth. They're only acknowledging one. So the point is that one is fine. That's the basis. But these other two, otherwise it was so great. Why don't they just sit down and meditate? Why are they married? You know what I'm saying? So the point is if just homogeneous nothingness was great, why don't they live a life like that? You know what I'm saying? The Swami eats kanji. The grihasthas never just eat kanji. Right? They eat everything else. They may eat it for breakfast, but the Swami will eat it for lunch. That Mayavadi won't. You know what I'm saying? Why not? Because variety is important. taste is important. The point is that it's connected to the Lord. That's what makes it special. So they're only connecting it up to the Brahman platform. So that's how great that is. How much more great is connecting it up to the person? That's all. And if they don't understand it, just feed them prasad. They'll get purified. Right? Because they will take part in kirtan, they will take prasad. So just stick to that. Okay? In the back, yeah? Yeah, it means that can go to the back.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, could you expand a bit on that point about Sudha Sattva and how when one does things out of duty
and out of duty.
Yeah, and then when that duty is done for Krishna's duty, that becomes Sudha Sattva?
I mean what's the doubt?
I'm not sure, but I'm not sure what the doubt is. It just really rung something of a definition of devotional service I hadn't really heard before. That there's sattva and then the Sudha Sattva is when it's the sattva is out of duty. I think this is what you said.
Yes.
The sattva is out of duty and the Sudha Sattva when that duty is to please the Lord.
Yeah, because the Sudha Sattva means it's not being performed for any material purpose. Right? It's on the transcendental platform. So I mean there's no yeah. So the devotional service is also defined that it's pious activity. But it's pious activity because it's under the supreme authority, what the person likes. Does that make sense? Means you have activities that are authorized. Right? So Krishna, in other words, rasa is important. So he's authorized what constitutes functioning within rasa. Now, depending upon what aspect of rasa you're seeing, then you know, how great is that rasa, how broad is that, then the rules are more expansive, more developed. And the more narrow, then the more specific they are. Does that make some sense? Right? In other words, oh, it means you have so many things that are authorized for a very specific situation and a very specific mentality. But then there's what's actually pleasing on a big, greater platform. You know what I'm saying? Like to say the Kali worshipper is doing his little aspect of his puja. Now, the aspects that he's dealing with aren't the major recommended what's given in the Veda. Right? But still, that little very narrow perspective he's using, there is still given recommendations authority within that. But he's not seeing the bigger picture, right? Like, let's say an animal is being sacrificed. So there's rules how to do that so that there's no sin, right? But the problem is there's still a reaction. It means if there's sin, you'll go to hell in so many lifetimes as an animal. But if there's no sin, the only reaction is you'll be the animal in the next life and the animal will be the Kali Bhakta. You understand? So it's narrow. So bigger than that is that, well, how the society works and you're including also the animals and everybody else. So therefore, you know, goats like to eat leaves, but they like it when their head, when they swallow, that it's going to make it all the way to their stomach. You know what I'm saying? Because if the head's removed, it doesn't quite make it. So they're not quite so happy about that. So it's taking into something bigger. So someone who can't accommodate that, they get a very narrow range. Someone who can accommodate, then he doesn't do like that. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, it's more pious, it's higher, it's more elevated. Right? But what actually pleases the personality of Godhead himself as a person, that's what's the most pious. Right? So that's devotional service. Does that make sense? So that's the context that we're giving it within. Does that make sense? Does that answer the question?
Just the point then, if the person is not in sattva gun, are doing it out of duty, and then come to the next level of, as you said, sudha sattva, doing that duty for the Lord. If there's some passion involved, does that just mean that it's, is that mishra bhakti, it's just mixed?
Yeah. It's mixed, but even in goodness it's mixed. It's just better mix. You know what I'm saying? You have pure, and then you have mixed. You know what I'm saying? So, let's say you have some pure apple juice. You've just squeezed the apple juice, so it's pure. Okay, now let's say that apple juice, fresh apple juice, has a little water in it. Okay, so it's mixed, but it's still okay. Now let's say I have some canned apple juice, and I put the water in it. You understand? So it just drops down, that's all. So it's the... In other words, what's done according to the proper authority and done to please, that aspect to please Krishna, that's the pure devotional aspect. Because why do we say it's mixed? See, very important to note, when we say it's mixed, that means it has devotional service in it and the material. Because we take it mixed means it's only material. Otherwise, why would we call it mixed devotional service? We just go very, well-meaning devotion, I mean well-meaning material that never quite makes it to the devotional platform. That's what we call it, right? But it means that you've done it because of the authority of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and you'd like to ultimately please Krishna. That's the devotional side. But the side that you're doing it for yourself, that's the mixed side. So that mixed may be goodness, passion, or ignorance. You understand? So it's just what it's mixed with. It's not... These things aren't mystical in meaning that they can't be understood. It's a science. So it's just a matter if it's the only aspect in doing the activity is to please Krishna, right, under authority, that's pure devotional service. If you have that and it's got something else within it, it's called mixed. You know, so it can be karma misra or jnana misra. You know, one wants the facility or the position, one wants to be freed from the troubles of the world. You know, either of these is karma or jnana, mixed. But they're doing it to please Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Because ultimately it's to please Krishna, though the karma and jnana aspects are there. Does that make sense? So as you go, you get more knowledge and more detachment, so you the mixing gets less and less. That's why it says gradual process. Means it gradually, the devotion increases and the aspect that's mixed gets less or dropped, and then it ultimately disappears. Does that make sense? So that's why we have to be very careful. We're dealing with devotees, we're dealing with devotees. Now it's just, they may not be pure devotees, means there's a strong mix. But still they're devotees. Right? But if they're not following according to authority, does that make sense? Then you can say then that devotion is not very, you know, how will Krishna recognize it? Why will, they say it's for Krishna, but it's not according to authority, so how would it get up to Krishna? Because it has to go through authority to get to Krishna. Because Radharani is the supreme authority there, so if it doesn't get to her, how will it go to Krishna? You know what I'm saying? So it's not authorized. The sentiment is there, but it's still not devotional, really devotional sentiment. But if it's authorized, then it is devotional. It's just a matter of how much it's mixed. Does that make sense?
On the example of the mridanga player, thinking how he's enjoying playing the mridanga.
Yes.
Well, look at him. So that aspect is the mix.
That's the mix.
But his feeling of, you know, doing it out of duty, he's heard from Guru that doing Sankirtana is pleasing, and he plays the proper mantras for Krishna's pleasure, like that's the...
Yes, he may even really like playing mridanga for Krishna. So in his moments when he's not thinking how... In other words, he'll be playing and he's really absorbed in that, but after playing something really good, then he'll think, wow, that was great, you know, I wonder what everybody else thought. That's where the mix comes in. So it's not necessarily the mix is always there. Sometimes it is pure, sometimes it's, you know, the mix is prominent. So it's just a matter of what's it. So that's why we practice, that's why we associate, because we are able to gain advantage from others, from their advance, because everybody's different. So everybody's going to have areas where they're more advanced in and then where their mix is. So in other words, you take advantage of where someone else is strength is, right? That's the point, to reduce your weakness. You don't take advantage of their weakness to increase your weakness. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So the fact that he likes it in those moments, he's just enjoying that, pleasing yeah. Krishna, that's not a problem. Though.
That's not the problem. So it's not that it's all useless. No, there's no such thing. If it's connected to Krishna, there's no such thing as all useless. Because it's connected to Krishna, how can it be all useless? So what's useless is that part that's not connected to Krishna. So that's the difference, is whether we look at the part that's... When we say the glass is half full, means we look at the part that's connected. Glass half empty is the part that's not connected. But you do... The point is you have to know both. The idea is one or the other, that's also not complete. Because how do you get a full glass unless you know it's half empty? If I think the half full glass is good enough, which is the position of the liberal, I'll never get more than a half full glass. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem with liberals. They never get past a half full glass. Right? But you have to know it's half empty, otherwise how do you get a half full? But unless you know it's half full, how do you know that it's got half more to go? So you have to know both. It's always this concept of duality, that's mundane. Right? Krishna's non-dual, that means both aspects are connected with him. That it's half full means it's connected to him, so that's the part that's good, that's the devotional. The part that's not connected to him is the part where you're forgetting Krishna. That's that half empty. So you always remember Krishna, never forget. Right? So you have to know both. Otherwise it's just sentiment.
What's that feeling of excitement the mridanga player gets when he's thinking of doing the nice kirtan for Krishna just at
it's
the start?
Krishna.
That's
Krishna.
Devotional.
It's devotional, but I'm saying that excitement, that attraction, that feeling, that's Krishna. The point is everyone is getting that somewhere, right? So the point is do they know that that's Krishna or not? If they know, then that's the devotee. That's someone in knowledge. They think that excitement is coming from someone else. It's not from playing the mridanga. It's from playing the mridanga for Krishna. Because the point is the mridanga is only playing because of Krishna. Right? Why does the drum make the sound? We didn't decide it's that way. Krishna made the rule. We follow that rule. You play it in a certain way, it matches. You have to pay in time with the music. You know what I'm saying? So all these different things that Krishna's created. So Krishna is that. He is the mridanga. He is the beats of the mridanga. He is the sound of the mridanga. Right? He is that inspiration that comes from that. He's all that. So if you understand that, then it takes on the devotional aspect. Right? But where you become proud of that, that's the weakness.
But if you just think that's exciting on its own, then that's not devotion.
No, but at least if that gets them into the kirtan, it's connected. The point is the kirtan's connected to Krishna, so they're excited to be in the kirtan because they want to play mridanga, even though they'll just think about mridanga, they're still in the kirtan. It's still devotional service. You know what I'm saying? If he takes the kirtan, the mridanga, and goes to some, you know, what is it, the rainbow festival or something, and just beats on the drum there while someone's, you know, singing, you know, some dead song or something like that, then that will miss the point. It's still Krishna, but they don't know it and they get no benefit. The point is if it's connected through the parampara, even you don't understand it's connected, you still get the spiritual benefit. That's why the devotees are special. They do that. Krishna is everything. He's entered everything through his potencies. So everybody is only conscious of Krishna. There's nothing else they're conscious of. But because they don't see that it's connected to Krishna, they get zero benefit from being attracted. You understand? That's what's going on. So that's what's special about devotees, and that's why parampara is mentioned, because that then connects it. So that even if the person doesn't understand, he still gets benefit. While the other one, you get no benefit. Does that make sense? Yes. Yeah, there's a little switch on the bottom. very little switch, no, very bottom little switch, you turn this switch, it goes on, yes. Yes.
Maharaj, I may have a desire to do some service for the Lord. But always, not all desires are translated into action. So, I mean, exactly what happens? Why does not happen?
Why doesn't it translate into action?
Yes. Why does it remain only as a desire?
Because you don't contemplate it enough to actually need it. You only act when there's a need. You don't act when there's a desire. See, but in generally people don't make a distinction between what's a desire and what's a need. You know what I'm saying? You're hungry, you need to eat. Right? But if you're not hungry, you can think of all kinds of things you'd like to eat, but you don't need to eat them, so you don't eat them. You understand? There's a difference. Desire means you see options. Need is, it's not a matter of an option, it's a necessity. So you only act if there's a necessity. So to that degree, you understand what its purpose is, to that degree is you'll endeavor. That's why focus is important. So there's no focus. Right? Without focus, there can't be endeavor. Without endeavor, there won't be result. So if you're not making any endeavor, it's one thing if you're making endeavor but getting no result, but here your point is you're not even making the endeavor. So that means there's no focus. So the focus means you don't understand the field, you don't understand the results of that field, you don't understand the plan, how you can deal with the field, and what's the proper attitude in dealing with that. You understand those four? That will bring it to need. Right? Then there'll be action. Okay? So we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainatai Gaurav Premanandi.